الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على افضلهم وخاتم النبيين محمد الامين وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين اما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى كما ورد في اخر سورة آل عمران اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ان في خلق السماوات والارض واختلاف الليل والنهار لآيات لأولي الالباب الذين يذكرون الله قياما وقعودا وعلى جنوبهم ويتفكرون في خلق السماوات والارض ربنا ما خلقت هذا باطلا سبحانك فقنا عذاب النار ربنا انك من تدخل النار فقد اخزيته وما للظالمين من انصار ربنا اننا سمعنا مناديا ينادي للايمان ان امنوا بربكم فامنا ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار ربنا وآتنا ما وعدتنا على رسلك ولا تخزنا يوم القيامة إنك لا تخلف الميعاد فاستجاب لهم ربهم أني لا أضيع عمل عامل منكم من ذكر أو أنثى بعضكم من بعض فالذين هاجروا وأخرجوا من ديارهم وأوذوا في سبيلي وقاتلوا وقتلوا لو كفرن عنهم سيئاتهم ولأدخلنهم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار ثوابا من عند الله والله عنده حسن الثواب صدق الله العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقده من لساني يفقهوا قولي اللهم ربنا الهمنا رشدنا واعذنا من شرور انفسنا اللهم ارنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وارنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى امين يا رب العالمين These are the six ayat from the last section of ruku of Surah Al Imran Those of you who attended My first two lectures regarding introduction to the Quran, they must be remembering that I said that in most of the surahs of the Quran, the ayat with which the surah begins and also the ayat with which the surah ends, they are very profound, most important. Technically, we call them the fawatih. The opening ayat of the surah, Al-Khawateen, the ayat with which the surah is coming to an end. And we know that the Fawateh and Khawateen of Surah Al-Baqarah, they are very important. We find in the end of Surah Baqarah, those two ayats about which I told you, they were given to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Miraj. On the seventh heaven as a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a souvenir of that great event of the seerah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and as a gift for the ummah. With those two ayat the surah ends. آمَنَ الرَّسُولُ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ And you know the next ayah contains the longest prayer supplication. ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا واخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا Out of the prayers that appear in the Quran, this is the longest one. In the same way we find in Surah Al Imran, the Fawateh are also very profound, very comprehensive, as well as these Khawateen with which the Surah is coming to an end. Especially about these ayat, there is a tradition, and I want to recite it to you, the full text of that tradition. وعن عطاء بن أبي رباح قال انطلقت أنا وابن عمر وعبيد بن عمير إلى عائشة رضي الله عنها. عطاء بن أبي رباح and عبد الله بن عمر and عبيد بن عمير رضي الله تعالى عنهم, they went to أم المؤمنين عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها. فدخلنا عليها, he says, we entered in his house, وَبَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَهَا حِجَابٌ, and there was a curtain intervening between us. This is very important. أُمُّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, but still there was hijab. This tradition is telling us the importance of hijab. She was the mother for the whole of Ummah, wife of the Prophet, about whom no evil idea can come, creep into the mind of any Muslim or Mu'min. But still Sharia is Sharia. Injunctions of the Sharia are to be observed. So بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَهَا حِجَابٌ, so there was a curtain intervening between us. فَقَالَتْ, she said, in a loving complaint, يَا عُبَيْدُ مَا يَمْرَوْكَ مِنْ زِيَارَتِنَا, O Ubaid, why don't you come to us more often? What holds you back from visiting us? قَالَ قَالُ شَاعِرْ ذُرْ غِبًّا تَزْدِدْ حُبًّا. Ubaid replied, he said, because a poet has said, if you go and meet, but not daily, after some intervals, so love is increased. If you are meeting very often, then you know the intensity of love and affection decreases. So that is why I don't come daily, I come after certain intervals. فَقَالَ ابْنُ عُمَرْ, now there was a request from Abdullah ibn Umar رضي الله تعالى عنهما, ذَرِينَا أَخْبَرِينَا بِعَجَبِ مَا رَأَيْتِيهِ مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. He said, O brother of the Ummah, leave these things. We have come to you to listen something. Tell us something. The most beautiful event that you experienced throughout your company with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One of the most beautiful events. Please narrate it to us. فَبَكَتْ, she started crying and weeping. وَقَالَتْ, and said, كُلُّ أَمْرِهِ كَانَ عَجَبًا, all the matters of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam were beautiful, were majestic. How can I choose? Every event, every habit of his, every manner of his was very high, very beautiful, very good. But then she narrated this event. أَتَانِي فِي لَيْلَتِي, once he came to me in my night, because there were, the nights were divided among the wives of the surah. So when it was my turn, the Prophet came to me. حَتَّى مَسَّ جِلْدَهُ جِلْدِي, and we were together in the bed, our bodies were touching each other. ثُمَّ قَالَ, but then suddenly the Prophet said, ذَرِينِي أَتَعَبُّدُ لِرَبِّي عَزَّ وَجَلَّ, O Aisha, if you allow me, I want to worship, I want to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Although it's your right that I should be with you. This is the night of your turn. But if you allow, zarini, ataabudu li rabbi azza wa jal, qalat, she said, faqultu, I said to him, wallahi inni la uhibbu qurbak, O Messenger of Allah, I love very much that you should be near me, with me. Wa inni uhibbu an ta'budu rabbak, I also love that you should pray to Allah. I allow you. فَقَامَ إِلَى الْقُرْبَةِ فَتَوَضَّعَ, then the Prophet, you know, stood to some utensil which had water, and he made his wuzu. وَلَمْ يُكْسِرْ سَبَّ الْمَاءِ, and he didn't use much of water, only that amount of water which was necessary. ثُمَّ قَامَ يُسَلِّي. Then he stood praying to Allah. فَبَكَى. And he wept and cried. حَتَّى بَلَّ لِحْيَتُهُ. So much so that his beard became wet with his tears. ثُمَّ سَجَدَ فَبَكَى. Then he was in the prostration, in the sajda. فَبَكَى. He kept crying. حَتَّى بَلَّ الْأَرْضِ. So much so that the earth that became wet with the tears of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. ثُمَّ اصْطَلَعَ عَلَى جَنْبِهِ. And then for some time he laid down. He lay on one of his sides. فَبَكَى. But again he was weeping. حَتَّى إِذَا أَتَى بِلَال يُوزِنُهُ بِسَلَاةِ الصُّبْحِ. And this kept on happening till Bilal came, informing him that the salah, the jama'ah for fajr is ready. O Messenger of Allah, come and lead the prayer. قَالَتْ فَقَالَ. When Bilal saw that, you know the condition of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, قَالَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ مَا يُبْكِيكَ. He said, O Messenger of Allah, what makes you weep? What makes you cry? وَقَدْ غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لَكَ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already forgiven you all your mistakes, if there is any, of the past, of the present, of the future. Everything Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already beforehand forgiven. Then why do you weep? فَقَالَ رَيْحَكَ يَا بِلَال. The Prophet replied, woe to you, O Bilal. وَمَا يَمْلَعُنِيَ الْنَبْقِ. Why should I not weep and cry? وَقَدْ أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَيَّ فِي هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ فِي هَذِهِ اللَّيْلَةِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down on me during this night these ayat. And then he recited these ayat. إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَا آيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ إِلَى آخِرِ السُّورَةِ. So that was the effect of on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam of these ayat. Now this weeping was actually of shukr, that such grand ayat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me. So that is the importance and the grandeur of these ayat which we should note. This has been reported by Ibn Mardawih, Wabdu Ibn Humaid, Wabnu Habban, Wabnu Asakir rahimahumullah. So this tradition has been reported by these muhaddiseen. And then we know it from other traditions. After these ayat were revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then it became his habit and practice that whenever he stood up in the night for tahajjud prayer, no sooner than his eyes they opened, he awoke, he started reciting these ayat. And we can very well imagine, you know, this has been reported by Hazratullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhumah. And this is also a very interesting event of the life and seerah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abdullah ibn Abbas says that once I passed the whole night in the room, in the hujra of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because that night he was staying with Maymuna radiyallahu ta'ala anha, one of the wives of the Prophet. And she was the aunt of Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas, sister of the mother of Abdullah ibn Abbas. So he could stay there. So he stayed for the whole night. He observed the practice, what the Prophet does during the night. So this riwayah, this tradition comes in Sahih Bukhari also, Sahih Muslim also. But the detailed incident has been reported by Imam Malik in his Muwatta Imam Malik. And according to this, we come to know that when the Prophet rose, when one third of night remained, two thirds had passed, he stood up. He opened his eyes. And the first words that he uttered were, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِّأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. He recited these ayat before making wuzu. Actually, that became the habit and practice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So these two incidents and these two traditions can give us some understanding of the importance of these ayat. Now let me give you what's the subject of these ayat. I'm using a term today, synthesis of iman. What are the constituent elements of iman? And how are they synthesized? Synthesis of iman. And here please note two terms, two phases of the synthesis of iman. First phase is the intellectual faith, the level where human intellect, if it is pure, that can take a man, that is al-imanul aqli. And then the second phase is attestation of, after listening to the call of a messenger of Allah, al-imanu sam'i, on hearing some call to the faith, to belief, and responding positively. So actually, these inshallah we shall be discussing in these ayat. In these six ayat you'll find, in the first ayah, how a man can attain iman billah, how he knows Allah, how he can attain the faith and belief, real faith, not dogma. We are not considering dogma. Real faith, for which I prefer the word conviction. Real faith, a living conviction in the existence of Allah, God, Creator, His oneness, His unity, that is the attributes. How one can reach this place, how one can attain this position? First of all, first ayah gives you, so to say, the summary of a very long discussion which we find in the Makki surahs. Because actually faith and iman is the subject of Makki surahs. Very lengthy discussions and discourses we find on the subject of iman and faith in the Makki surahs. But here it is summary of a very long and lengthy discussion has been given in one ayah. Then in the next two ayahs we shall find how logically iman bil akhirah proceeds from iman billah. What's the logic? What's the argument? Then in the next two ayat is mentioned the al-imanu sam'i. When a person has reached that level and then a call comes to him, have faith in Allah, have belief in the hereafter resurrection, and he responds immediately and spontaneously. This is iman sam'i, as Shaykh Mahmudul Hasan, the Shaykhul Hind, he has used this terminology in his tafsir. And then in the last and the sixth ayah, what is the result of this iman? In the behavior, in the attitude, in the character, in the actions and deeds of a person who has this real iman and who has achieved this level through his own intellect, his own thinking, and his own endeavor. So this is the subject matter of this lesson number 2. Of the second part of the selected course of study of the Quran, which we are discussing in these sessions. Now, what's the problem? First of all, we must identify what's the problem. Problem is that the existence of God, and by God what we mean? A creator and a personal God, who is a person. As I said, as I quoted the ayah, إِنِّي أَنَا اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا أَنَا, the big I am, the infinite ego. So existence of a creator, and especially a personal God, cannot be proved through any logical arguments. Although there has been endeavor of the thinkers, philosophers, especially the experts in scholasticism, mutakallimeen, the mutakallimeen among the Jews, the mutakallimeen among the Christians, the mutakallimeen among the Muslims, they have all been trying to their utmost to prove the existence of God through logical argument. Since the time of Aristotle, three arguments have been given, and they have been named, Allama Iqbal has also mentioned in his lectures, the ontological, the teleological, and the cosmological arguments for the existence of Allah, for the existence of God. But the fact of the matter is that all these arguments are repudiated by logic itself. Just as we have the saying in Arabic, إِنَّ الْحَدِيدَ بِالْحَدِيدِ يُفْلَحُ. Iron can cut the iron. Logic cuts logic. Logic repudiates logic. And as I mentioned in my lecture before also, some of the lectures, that Kant, you know, who has been taken to be the father of modern Western philosophy, he proved it finally, that none of the logical arguments given so far to prove the existence of God can stand scrutiny. It gives way. It is proved false, untenable. His epoch-making book, The Critique of Pure Reason. Reason cannot prove the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No argument is there. And we find that many of the scholastic giants among the Muslims, Imam Razi and so on, who gave and gave and gave arguments, different types of arguments, but in the end they had to say, أَمُوتُ عَلَىٰ عَقِيدَةِ أُمِّي. It has been narrated about that when the time of death came of a very big mutakallim, now Shaitan, Iblis, came to him and started arguing him about his arguments which he had developed to prove the existence of Allah. And Shaitan repudiated every argument. So in the end, that scholastic giant had to say, أَمُوتُ عَلَىٰ عَقِيدَةِ أُمِّي. I'm dying on the aqeedah of my mother. And there has been narrated another sentence, أَمُوتُ عَلَىٰ عَقِيدَةِ أَجَائِزِ نِسَاقُورِ. I'm dying on the same faith and belief on which the old women of Nishapur are dying. They don't have any proof. They don't believe Allah on the basis of any arguments, any philosophy, any logic. They believe Allah. That's all. I also believe in Allah, and that's all. Although for Kant, let me tell you, that when he wrote that book, there was a great uproar, because till his time, Christianity had very firm roots in Europe. This era of atheism and materialism had not up till then ushered in. So there was a great concern, uproar against him. And we can't say whether he actually, only to save his skin, he wrote the second book, The Critique of Practical Reason. Now he put forward the moral argument. There can be no morality without believing Allah, without believing God. There can be no basis for moral life. Hence, it is necessary to believe in God. But what does it mean? You are believing in God because you need Him. That's all. But whether He really exists, that's a different issue, different matter. But He, on the basis of, as I quoted His verse, there are two proofs of the existence of God, the starry heavens above and the moral law within. We have a moral law. Man knows by his very nature what is good, what is evil. If this is true, there should be morality. We should lead a moral life. We should tell the truth. And we should not tell a lie. But why to tell a truth? If you find there's going to be some harm come to you if you are telling the truth, you can save your skin if you tell a lie. So actually there you need to believe in God, that He wants to you to tell the truth and not to tell the lie. So this is actually to believe in Allah or God only because you need it. Need Him, that's all. And let me quote another very big philosopher, Western philosopher, Bradley. He said, said very correctly. I quoted this sentence of his in some other lecture of mine also. In his equally important and epoch-making book, Appearance and Reality, he says, philosophy is the name of finding bad reasons for what we believe on instincts. This position is very near the position of Quran. Now please let me describe to you what's the position of Quran on the issue of Iman Billah. The knowledge and love of Allah, of the Creator, is inherent. It is present in the human souls or spirits. It is there. Because why? These souls or spirits, they come from Allah. يَسَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِّنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. They have emanated. They have come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the knowledge of Allah and love of Allah is inherent in them. But only man forgets Allah, becomes unaware of Allah, the Creator. Why? Because of his preoccupation or overindulgence in this world of matter. We are busy. This preoccupation with this world of matter, with this world of cause and effect, and being involved in the lusts and the desires of our body, our nafs. We only forget Allah. We know Him. The knowledge of Allah is there, inherent within us. But because we are preoccupied, we are fully indulging in this world of matter and cause and effect around us. We are concerned with our comforts, our needs first of all, then comforts, and so on. So we just forget Allah. And there is only the need of reminding. And this reminding can be done by inviting the attention of the people towards some signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are signs. There are ayat. There are symbols. There are alamat. Those alamat, as I told you, alam. What is alam? Alam. Through which you can have knowledge of something. Alamat, alama, alameen. So actually, that's the basis of Quranic argument, that the knowledge and love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is already inherent in the souls of human beings. Only they are unawares or they just tend to forget because of their preoccupation with this world of matter. And their lust for sensual gratification. They're busy, preoccupied. And only you have to remind him. Please remember these words, which we shall be studying in the Quran now. Reminding. Only reminding. But reminding through what? Through some signs. Let me give you an example. You had a friend. You have not met him since, for example, 10 years, 20 years. You just forgot him. Never his idea doesn't come to you. You're busy. Suddenly someday you open some suitcase of yours or a trunk of yours and you find some handkerchief or something of the sort which that friend had given to you at some time. And suddenly you remember your friend. There was no intention of remembering him. Instantaneously, spontaneously, you remembered him. Why? You had known him before, but you have forgotten him. His idea never came to your mind now. You have not met for 20 years, 20 long years. But there was something which reminded you of him. When you saw that small piece of cloth, the handkerchief, he had presented it to you sometimes. You kept it in your suitcase as a souvenir. But now when that comes before you, suddenly you remember your friend. This is the process of remembering Allah. Allah is reminded. We are reminded of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through His signs, through His ayat. Now please, come to this first ayah. إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِّأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Verily, in the creation of the heavens and the earth, and the difference or the alternation or the succession of the days and nights, there are signs, ayat, signs. But for whom? For those who have their intellect, who use their intellect, who are endowed with insight. These are the different translations which have been done by different translators. People of good sense, ulul albab. You must understand this word. Albab, ulul albab, those who have lub. Albab is the plural of lub. We use this word in Urdu language also. After a very long discussion, we say, lubbe lubab ye hai. Is sari behas ka lubbe lubab ye hai. So you, so to say, it's the aspect, the essence of something. The essence of something is his lub. And the essence of human being is his intellect. So those who use their intellect, who use their power of reasoning. But let me quote here how Imam Raghib Isfahani rahimahullah describes what is lubb. You must be knowing, you know, his book is very important. Al-Mufridat lil Imam Raghib al-Isfahani rahimahullah. Actually, he has discussed all the roots of Quran. All the words of Quran have roots. Now the roots are discussed in this book. What this root means. Alim, Allama, all these words. Ya'lamu, ta'lamu. What is the root? Ilm. So what's the meaning of ilm in Arabic language? And I've been quoting what's the root of this word. Rahman, Rahim. What's the root? Rahm. Rahameen. What's the root of Iman? Amun. Alif, Meem, Noon. 99.9 recurrent percent words of the Arabic language have three-lettered root. Jihad. Juhud. This is the root. What's the meaning of Juhud? Qital. What's the root? Qatl. What's the meaning of Qatl? So this book is very important for a student of Quran. All the roots that have been used in the Quran, they have been discussed thoroughly. What are the literal meanings of those roots? So now what does he say about this lub? Al-lubbu al-aqlul khalis bin al-shawaib. I've been using this word. Pure intellect. Intellect which has not been perverted by wishful thinking. You are thinking, but you are having wishful thinking. You are not going straight. You prefer something and you want to prove it with something else. Objectively thinking and trying to know the reality is something else. So wishful thinking. Or when your intellect is clouded by your sentiments, your emotions, then you know this aql, it can mislead you. Aql-e ayyar. It can become an evil genius also. But al-aql, al-khalis min al-shawaib, that intellect, which is free from all impurities, that is called lub, according to Imam Raghib Isfahani. وَقِيلَ هُوَ مَا زَكَى مِنَ الْعَقْلِ. Another way of expressing the same thing is, if aql has been purified, just as nafs, purification of nafs, tazkiya nafs, so tazkiyatul aql, the purified intellect is lub. فَكُلُّ لُبِّنْ أَقْلٌ وَلَيْسَ كُلُّ أَقْلٍ لُبٌّ. Every aql is not lub. It may be a misleading intellect. But lub is aql. And it is the purified knuckle. Now let me give you the parallel of this ayah we find. It's very interesting. This ayah that we are studying, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَا يَعْتِلْ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. This is the first ayah of the 20th section of Surah Al Imran. And the first ayah of the 20th section of Surah Al-Baqarah is also the same. Rather, a much bigger and larger. The first ayah of the 20th section of Surah Al-Baqarah, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ وَالْفُلْكِ الَّتِي تَجْرِي فِي الْبَحْرِ بِمَا يَنْفَعُ النَّاسِ وَمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مِنْ مَاءٍ وَأَحْيَا بِهِ الْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا وَبَثَّ فِيهَا مِنْ كُلِّ دَابَّةٍ وَتَصْرِيفِ الرِّيَاحِ وَالسَّحَابِ الْمُسَخَّرِ بَيْنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَعْقِلُونَ. Now this ayah is ending with the words لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَعْقِلُونَ. And this ayah is ending with the words لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. So that there is a principle for the exegesis of the Quran. الْقُرْآنُ يُفَسِّرُ بَعْضُهُ بَعْضًا. One part of the Quran explains the other part. Here it is explained that أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ means whom? الَّذِينَ يَعْقِلُونَ لِقَوْمِ يَعْقِلُونَ, who are using their intellect. And you know, if they use your intellect, they will find that in all these physical phenomena, in the creation of the heavens and the earth, in the succession coming after each other, night after day, day after night, or difference between night and the day, both translations are correct. Because Mr. Piftal has used the word difference between the night and the day. And Abdullah Yusuf Ali uses the word alternation of the day and night. Allama Asad has used the word, I prefer this one, succession of night and day, day after night, night after day. Now the ayah of Surah Al-Baqarah, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ وَالْفُلْكِ الَّتِي تَجْرِي فِي الْبَحْرِ بِمَا يَنْفَعُ النَّاسِ. In these steamers, today we have the steamers. But there were the boats which are going and travelling in the sea and the rivers with the material which is beneficial to humanity, transporting them from one place to another. وَالْفُلْكِ الَّتِي تَجْرِي فِي الْبَحْرِ بِمَا يَنْفَعُ النَّاسِ وَمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مِنْ مَاءٍ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down water. فَأَحْيَا بِهِ الْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا. And with this water, He again, the land which was lying dead without any vegetation, now it has become, so to say, alive again. أَحْيَا بِهِ الْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا وَبَثَّ فِيهَا مِنْ كُلِّ دَابَّةٍ. All these animals which He has spread on the surface of the earth. But تَصْرِيفِ الرِّيَاحِ, and this movement of the winds from one place to another, taking these clouds, the rains coming with the clouds, and these clouds are transported by the winds. وَتَصْرِيفِ الرِّيَاحِ وَالسَّحَابِ الْمُسَخَّرِ بَيْنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ, and these clouds which are suspended between the skies and the earth. In all these things, لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَعْقِلُونَ, there are signs and symbols, but for those people who use their intellect. See them. Do you remember someone? Do you remember someone who has created them? And you can recognize His omnipotence. He created all this. How omnipotent He is. His omniscience. He knows everything. His hikmah. Here nothing is without any purpose. Not even a single blade of grass is without purpose. Everything is useful. So actually, by seeing these things, these ayat, fil afaqi wa fi anfusihim, there are ayat, there are signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala according to the Quran. Everything, every creature is a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for those who use their intellect. Just as you remembered your friend by seeing the handkerchief that he gave to you 20 years ago. In the same way, if you are reminded of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by seeing these signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you know Allah and you will love Allah. You have faith in Allah. And if you are not reminded of Him, then no proof, no scientific proof, no logical argument can prove the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for you. Allah will come from your own, from within your own personality. You have the knowledge, but you just forgot. And with the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can have the knowledge of Allah. That's all. No other argument. Quran doesn't use any other argument. No logical argument. As for those who, even after being invited to see and look to these signs of Allah, if they don't believe in Allah, there can be two conditions. Either, as we discussed before, either the rust on their hearts is very thick. Kallabal rana ala qulubihim ma kanu yaksebun. Their misdeeds, their mischiefs, their sensual gratification, love of sensual gratification has produced a very thick layer of rust on their hearts. Or number two, they do believe, but are not ready to say that they believe. There is an ayah in Surah An-Naml. وَجَهَدُوا بِهَا مَسْتَيْقَنَتْهَا أَنفُسُهُمْ ظُلْمًا وَعُلْوًا. They had the belief in their hearts. They had recognized what the Prophet is saying is correct. But still they denied. Why? Out of jealousness, out of takabbur, out of arrogance, out of the urge to dominate. Why to accept him? If we accept his call, it means he becomes the leader, we become the followers. Just as Abu Jahl, you know, admitted privately that Muhammad never told a lie. But I'm not going to believe in him because we are not ready to accept the supremacy of Banu Hashim forever. He's the Hashmi. I'm from Banu Umayyah. We have been trying to become higher than the other tribe. There was going on. But you know, if I accept that Muhammad is the Prophet of Allah, what does it mean? The Banu Hashim. It means that they become superior to the Banu Umayyah. And this is not acceptable to me. Absolutely. Plainly he admitted. Just as Quran says about the ulama of the Yahud, يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاهُمْ. They have recognized Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Quran just as they recognize their own sons. There can be no mistake in recognizing your own son. يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاهُمْ. But they are not ready to accept. Out of hasad, out of takabbur, haughtiness, arrogance. So actually these are the two reasons that even after being invited, just to remember, just to try to remember, recall, you have the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but you have just forgotten Him. But look to these ayat. إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ وَالْفُلْكِ الَّتِي تَجْرِي فِي الْبَحْرِ بِمَا يَنْفَعُ النَّاسِ وَمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مِن مَّاءٍ فَأَحْيَا بِهِ الْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا وَبَثَّ فِيهَا مِن كُلِّ دَابَّةٍ وَتَصْرِيفِ الرِّيَاحِ وَالسَّحَابِ الْمُسَخَّرِ بَيْنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَآيَاتٍ لِّقَوْمٍ يَعْقِلُونَ. What will be the result? In the next ayah, no, it's ayah 164 of Surah Al-Baqarah, which I have narrated. And I was given, this ayah is also a name, Ayatul Ayat. Because this is the biggest ayah of the Quran, which is referring to maximum number of physical phenomena. خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ وَالْفُلْكِ الَّتِي تَجْرِي فِي الْبَحْرِ بِمَا يَنْفَعُ النَّاسِ وَمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مِن مَّاءٍ فَأَحْيَا بِهِ الْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا وَبَثَّ فِيهَا مِن كُلِّ دَابَّةٍ وَتَصْرِيفِ الرِّيَاحِ وَالسَّحَابِ الْمُسَخَّرِ بَيْنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَعْقِلُونَ. 8 phenomena of nature being cited and quoted in one ayah. And you'll find, you know, this style of Quran, especially in the Meccan surahs. أَفَلَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَى الْإِبِلِ كَيْفَ خُلِقَتْ. Are they not looking towards the creation of this camel on which they ride? How suitable it is for the desert, the ship of desert. It can go without water for a week or 10 days. It has the, you know, feet which don't go down into the sand. How suited to the environment? Who is the creator? How knowledgeable he is. How wise he is. He has created this animal for you. The ship of the desert. أَفَلَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَى الْإِبِلِ كَيْفَ خُلِقَتْ وَإِلَى السَّمَاءِ كَيْفَ رُفِعَتْ. Are they not looking to the sky? How it has been raised high? Who has done it? How powerful is he who has made these skies? وَإِلَى الْأَرْضِ كَيْفَ سُطِحَتْ. They don't sit to the earth, to the ground. Who has leveled it? You are walking on it. Who has made it? You don't remember anyone? You don't get the consciousness of any person, any creator, his omniscience, his omnipotence. You don't remember? وَإِلَى جِبَالِ كَيْفَ نُصِبَتْ. You don't see to these mountains how they are fixed. All these phenomena of the nature. See them. Look to them. Someone has created them. And that who has created them is all wise, all powerful, all knowledgeable. He knows everything. هُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ هُوَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ. He is Al-Hakim. He has all the good attributes to the maximum. This is Iman Billah. This is the only way of having Iman Billah. Having the marfa or the gnosis of Allah. And then the result would be the next ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَتَّخِذُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَرْبَابًا يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. Whosoever recognizes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he comes to believe in him, now the natural result would be that his love for Allah would become supreme, more than his love for anything else. He is the creator, he is the sustainer. He should be loved the most. أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. But there are people, Allah says, complaining. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَتَّخِذُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَادًا يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ. There are people who take to other gods, smaller gods, and they begin loving them as they should have loved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But those who have real faith, real iman, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. Now I should stop here about the first ayah. إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِّأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Now what's the second stage? If one has come to believe in Allah, the Creator, His oneness, His one, alone, none like Him, none equal to Him, no partner with Him, no associate with Him. His attributes, He's omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient. Now you think more. الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَىٰ جُنُوبِهِمْ وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Those people who after recognizing Allah, God, the Creator, now they keep Him in their minds, keep remembering Him, and they are thinking more. يتفكرون, تفكر. This is the second stage, second step of the intellectual process which leads to Iman, Iman bil Akhirah. But for this, you must keep Allah in your mind. Let me give you what's the definition of zikr and what's the definition of fikr. Zikr is istihzarullah fil qalb. This is zikr. Actually, what we call zikr is the means of zikr. So Subhanallah, 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 it is zikr. It is not zikr. It's the means to zikr. Real zikr is that Allah should be present in your mind. You should continue the consciousness of Allah. Allah should be present there in your consciousness. This is zikr. But if you are repeating the words only, and you are thinking about something else, Allah is not in your mind. Your consciousness is busy somewhere else. Only your tongue is repeating certain words. You think you are making zikr, it is not zikr. But it will be rewarded because you are taking some pains, you are doing some labor. So Allah will reward you. But real zikr is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is present in your consciousness, in your mind. This is zikr. And what is fikr? Istihzarul ma'rifatain lihusul ma'rifatin ukhra. You keep two realities before you. A is equal to B, B is equal to C. These are two premises. Now the result is, then A is equal to C, this is the result. This is logic, discursive logic. This is fikr. So actually zikr and fikr should go hand in hand. This ayah is very important. Because we find in the ummah, one of the reasons of the downfall and decadence of the ummah is that these two things are taken by two different sections of our people. There are people, zakireen, who are doing zikr and zikr, majalis and zikr. They gather together, they are chanting these words, they are repeating these things, but they don't do fikr. Thoughtless people, never thinking about this universe. What is this universe? Thoughtless. And there are others who are thinkers, but they don't do zikr. Maulana Rum said, E qadar gustein, baki fikr kun. Fikr agar jamid bohat, ra zikr kun. Fikr arad, fikr ra dar ehtizaz. Zikr ra khursi dein afsurda saas. These two things should go side by side. Go on thinking, thinking, but you find your thought process has stopped somewhere. It's not proceeding. Then go. Do zikr. So again, this zikr will open some door for your thinking. So these two things should go on side by side. And you know, Allama Iqbal admits that I am a disciple of Rumi. And he says, Juzba Quran Zaygami Rubahi Ast. Fakre Quran Asul Shahan Shahi Ast. Fakre Quran Ikhtilate Zikro Fikr. Fikr ra kamil na deedam juzbe zikr. Unless there is zikr, fikr will not be complete. Fikr will not take you to the right conclusions. You must have both zikr and fikr. And this ayah, how beautifully it is depicting that this process should go continuously. Allazina yazkuruna Allah qiyaman wa qu'udan wa ala junubihim. Those people who remember Allah, who have the memory of Allah, the remembrance of Allah in their minds as well as on their tongues, on their lips. Allazina yazkuruna Allah qiyaman wa qu'udan wa ala junubihim. What does it mean? All the times. No time of theirs should be without the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They must keep Allah in their mind all the time. Whether they are standing, or they are sitting, or they are lying. These are the only three conditions. Either you are standing and walking, or you are sitting, or you are lying. Qiyamam wa qu'udam wa ala junubihim, on their sides. Now this zikr continuous, and وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And along this with this zikr, they are thinking about the creation of the heavens and the earth. What's this universe? How it was created? What's the reality? What's the reality of existence? What's the end of this existence? When this process goes side by side, they reach a conclusion and they speak out, Rabbana ma khalaqta haza batila. O our Lord, you have not created all this without any purpose. Nothing in this universe is without purpose. Batil is the opposite of haq. Batila, purposeless, meaningless. This universe is a purposeful creation. There is wisdom behind everything. Not even a blade of grass is without purpose. It is also serving some useful purpose in the overall scheme of creation. Sheikh Sadi said once, very beautifully, Barge darakhtane sabz dar nazare hoshiyar, har varaqe daftar asfar marifate kirdegar. You need eyes to see. If you have the eyes to see the reality, you will find that each green leaf of a tree is a big book of the marfa and gnosis and knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now we know that each leaf of a tree is actually a factory. A factory of photosynthesis. It's using and converting the solar energy. Using it. Photosynthesis is going on in every leaf. Dar nazare hoshiyar, har varaqe daftar asfar marifate kirdegar. Barge darakhtane sabz dar nazare hoshiyar, har varaqe daftar asfar marifate kirdegar. So actually, everything is a sign of Allah. Allah, by seeing the signs that He has created. Number two, when you think more, keeping in your mind Allah all the time, you will reach another conclusion that nothing here is without any purpose, without any wisdom, without any purpose. Everything has a purpose and a wisdom behind it. We'll continue, inshallah, this subject in the next session. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات.